You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. And now we're going to return to my conversation with documentary filmmaker Pete Nix. In 2012, he spent dozens of hours in the ER waiting room talking with patients who depend on the hospital for their health care. The result was his award-winning film, The Waiting Room. This year, Nix partnered with StoryCorps to go back to Highland and record the perspectives of patients and hospital employees as we continue to debate the future of affordable health care across the country. Since The Waiting Room's release, the film has been shown around the country and turned into what's starting to look like a movement. I asked Nix if he ever thought this project would last so long.
We knew that we had something special when we started meeting people and talking to them and allowing them to share in the waiting room. And we knew that we wanted to scale that out. So now we are looking at coming back and we're trying to do these little partnerships like with StoryCorps, and we're talking to the Mayo Clinic and Penn State and Columbia and a bunch of medical schools around the country about how might we use storytelling to improve patient experience and also train doctors and caregivers, and use storytelling as a way to build empathy and create pathways. And so right now we are almost back to the beginning of our project, blue skying ideas of how we might use storytelling in a clinical environment to transform healthcare to some degree, in small ways at first, potentially, and then if something catches on, we could maybe scale that out. And so now we're looking at that and talking to various people about potentially continuing the project.
And what are caregivers saying to you about this film, about how it's changing the way that they look at their patients?
I think you get lots of very personal reactions. People who work in public health do so in a way where they get kind of in the weeds, where they can't see really or get perspective of what they're doing because they're working so hard.
They're doing triage, yeah. You know, their whole shift.
Right. So it's rare that you get this perspective on what you do. And I think it can be powerful and emotional for a caregiver to be reminded of why they do what they do. Because a lot of these, particularly the doctors who work at Highland, could be working elsewhere for more money. You know, a lot of the staff who works at Highland, they're from that community. And so these are their family, their friends, their neighbors, you know, that they come through that waiting room. So that's been gratifying to get that reaction, not just in the Bay Area, but all over the country where this story resonates in a very similar way for people who work in the public, you know, health system. So that has been one reaction. The other has been a very specific, like, wow, this is fascinating. Like, storytelling in the clinical environment. How can we use storytelling to improve patient experience? You know, allowing someone to share in a waiting room where they're stuck sitting for sometimes hours, allowing them to simply tell their story is profoundly cathartic. And how does that benefit the patient? How does that benefit the hospital? How does that benefit the caregivers who are trying to provide better care? So these are all questions that are, you know, circling around this idea. And I think we're at a point in our healthcare system where lots of innovation is happening. And I think this idea of narrative medicine or storytelling and empathy is a part of what a lot of hospital systems and medical schools are looking at in terms of different models for providing care and also for training caregivers.
Narrative medicine. Interesting. One of the other interesting things that you're doing with the StoryCorps project partnership is that the caregivers are also going into the booth and telling their stories, sometimes talking with patients, sometimes with each other.
The ability for a caregiver to share, I think, is one of the most important and untalked about aspects of, I don't know what you call it, the realities of working in a place like Highland. And I think the comparison is a cop or a soldier, you know, where you're confronted with issues and situations that are so intense and sometimes disturbing that you need to have an outlet for that. And for any loved ones of cops or soldiers or caregivers like this, you know that experience of them coming home and over the dinner table, the stories start coming out. And that's how actually I got interested in this in the first place, is my wife works at Highland. And so
she's a nurse, right?
She's a speech pathologist, mm-hmm. and she works in the ICU. So she sees a lot of trauma, very, very challenging situations. And so providing caregivers an opportunity to express, you know, themselves is incredibly important. And I don't think that really there's a framework for that to happen.
And right before we started this conversation, you said that a lot of the time documentary filmmakers want to move the needle on a national conversation in some way, where do you want to move this needle?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it's about connection and about empathy, because I think we have a bit of an empathy problem in our country when it comes to debating public policy or debating laws. You know, they become politicized and people break into their camps and they're unable to sort of see over the fence, so to speak. And for me, I don't there's different types of ways you can move a needle with a documentary. There are hardcore activist films that take a very strident point of view, and they want to get you to see things their way, and they want you to change your mind on an issue. It's becoming harder and harder to do that, because when you frame your film in a political manner, you immediately kind of, like, you know, people know, oh, I'm on this side, or
yeah,
I'm on that side.
The converted are going to maybe go see it, and those who are opposed are likely not to.
Probably. Who are we converting? And that's the question I always ask when it comes to, I guess, what I would call activist filmmaking. I think there's a place for it, and it's absolutely needed. But what we also need, and what I also firmly believe from my experience with The Waiting Room, is one way you can move the needle is by bringing people together in an emotional space where they can share a story in an emotional way that can potentially build pathways and build empathy.